Bachelor Boy!
Shed, look at him go. Keep getting momentum. Beep, beep, beep. Get the fuck out the way. Keep all the way to the bank. Ooh, shit. Look at him go. Keep getting momentum. Beep, beep, beep. Get the fuck out the way. Keep all the way to the bank.
Skeet.
What up, everybody?
Hey.
It's the Palmer Squares back again.
You guys.
With another installment of the TPS Reports podcast. Recording live from Jersey City, New Jersey.
Just a small town girl.
Ooh.
Living in a Broadway world.
We just went
Journey from New Jersey.
Jersey? Coincidence? I don't know. I have no idea. I know that song like you know it from the goddamn show we love and watch.
I just associate them with Jersey because of the Sopranos.
Yeah. It's a very difficult association. We just went for a beautiful mid, you know, the little gap between Jersey and New York walk by Ellis Island.
We went to the where the Arabs were celebrating on September 11th, allegedly.
According to our president. Jesus Christ. Beautiful, fucking beautiful city. As frustrating as it is always getting out here into this congested, giant, smelly mess that is like
San Francisco. Journey is from.
So it's like the opposite.
Why are they such
it's
a Jersey
the
band?
Exact other end of the fucking country.
That doesn't make any sense.
But yeah, that was nice. I'm all winded now early, but fuck it. We chilling, we balling, we got an off day, we got an Airbnb. Actually slept in a bed last night. That's nice. Not have to share it with Term. Term and Axe share more beds than they care to want
yeah,
to share.
I don't know if you guys know this about our illustrious life on the road, but it usually
more like
entails
lustful. More like
sleeping in the same bed in some dog shit hotel.
If we have to, we
have
to,
like,
man.
Check the mattresses for bugs before we lay in it.
Here's the thing.
There's most definitely cum, pee, or blood, or all three.
After we get in, yeah.
On the bed.
It's like, if it means saving on an extra room, because it's like, you know, we're touring with Prob Cause, we got Stevie Ray. If it means not having to spend another $130 on a second room, yeah, we're shacking up, dude. We're snuggling.
The other thing, you were asleep before me and Stevie.
God, what happened? What'd you put in my mouth?
Silently.
What'd you dip?
You're a little angel.
Aww.
And then, like, the second my body hits the bed, you turn and start, like, now your nasal passage wants to make some noise.
Yeah, dude. I knew
I'm
you were
like, what
close.
The frick?
You were,
It was not a good sleep.
Nope. You pulled all the sheets off of me at one point.
You
then
pulled all the sheets off of me, bro.
Yeah, because you had all of them. So I pulled some back, and you're like, fuck you, and you're, like, mid-sleep thing. And then I realized
you didn't have all of them, though.
Yeah, you did. I had no sheet on me. But there was, like,
the other
foot. You were asleep, man.
I wasn't most of the night.
There was the other foot of the bed one that wasn't even there, so I just, like, stole that and let you keep the fucking sheet. It's mine now. So you guys see our new video? Huh?
Eh?
How about that? Did you like it?
Eh?
How's about that?
You guys?
Thanks to everybody that watched this, and by now, actually, it's out. It's on, it should be out on Apple.
Much love, much thanks.
Spotify, Dolly all the stuff.
Use.
Tell your Amazon Echo.
Yeah, we still got
Echo.
It, apparently.
I liked seeing a lot of these comments. Obviously, we haven't put anything out all year. We had, like, kind of a silent release year. We've been talking about it on the podcast. Most of our listeners don't listen to the fucking podcast. They want our music, so it was very nice to be able to put something
out
once again.
What, like, I don't start the podcast with beautiful music every week?
With Earth Gang medleys?
Beep, 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 get the fuck out the way.
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. But yeah, man, our video is doing really well. Like, as well as any video we've ever put out. Like, I remember when we put out Muffhugger.
Perhaps Weller.
Weller, perhaps. Muffhugger, 2013. That was, like, our first video that, like, did, like, hey, look at this. It's fucking taken off. I think it did, and this is, dude, 2013, the algorithms and all this bullshit, it was so different
then.
It was
a simpler time.
Simpler times. Now you got a boost post, now you got to pay, it's like, oh yeah, you got 26,000 fans on this page? Well, we're going to show it to 600 of them, and if you want the rest to see, maybe you fork over a little coin, right? But back in the day, just organic reach that pushed our Muffhugger video out to, I think it was like close to 25,000 views, just on the YouTube video in like a week. And that's always been the bar. It's like, if we get 25,000 views in a week, that's a fucking good video for us. Mm-hmm. And we're recording this on Monday. You're hearing this on Wednesday, perhaps, maybe even later. But yeah, already in 3-4 days, we got like 21,000. And there's already another 4 or something, 4 and change on the Facebook upload. So it's doing really well. And like I said last week, get this anxieties of like, oh God, oh, we're putting ourselves out there again. What are people going to think?
Definitely.
It was very nice to see people like thinking that we've grown all these years, but also kept it true to our roots.
Point in time
where
we put stuff out so often that I didn't even really think about it when we were posting it.
Right.
You know, what are people going to think?
Now we have expectations and stuff.
Right. It had definitely been long enough to where I was like, am I still good at this?
Yeah. Well, that's like we talked about a couple weeks ago, and it was in our newsletter we just put out. It's like, you know, sometimes when you stray away from like what's fun and what was fun at the beginning, and now it's all like studio business and shit, it just is like a different ball game. And sometimes you don't even realize you're playing a different game, and you're like, wait a minute, this game isn't fun like it used to be. You know what used to be fun? Rapping in a filthy fucking basement room into just some shitty camera mic. And that's what we did.
Right.
So I had a feeling people were going to like it. I had a feeling, like, I always get my little...
We didn't need little effects on it.
I mean, Paul put some little effects on it.
We needed it.
We needed that.
I'm saying back then we didn't.
You say skull fucking the world and then there's like a skull in your face. Ah.
I like that part. I didn't like though that you can't see my mouth saying skull fucking.
Skull fuck. Yeah, I think it looks awesome. That was Paul Araki Elliott, who's who brought you Bars and Hall of Famers. He shot that for it. And picturesque.
Any luck. Picturesque.
The homie.
A litany of videos.
Lydia's a titty. But it was fucking... Yeah, like we tried to make that work. If you followed our Patreon, you already read this, but we wrote that shit over a year ago, and we tried to shoot that before the UBI tour, and then our schedule just kind of took off, and we could never set up the shoot. We need a location, we need a videographer, and all these things. And it was just like...
But do we?
What?
Could we have just shot it on the VX in
my VX
your
hasn't worked
apartment?
In 5 years now. I mean, we could shoot it on my other camera,
doesn't
but it,
work?
Dude, it's going to suck. No, dude, that's been broken since like... 2013.
Fuck.
And it's not even HD camera, so I'm not gonna pay $800 to fix it. I have an HD camera. It's not as cool and death lensy, but you know. Yada yada yada. It's good to be back. Thanks for watching. Somebody shared a fucking Reddit link with us, which
what?
I've never seen us like on Reddit. I don't go on Reddit, so I would have never seen us.
I go on it to find MMA streams sometimes.
There was
and they've cracked down a little bit. It's not as easy. As it used to be.
There's a thread. What are they called? Subreddits? I don't know anything about this website.
That sounds right.
It's a subreddit, right?
I've heard somebody say that before.
So there's a listen to this subreddit. It says it's got 15.2 million members that follow us. I'm sure none of them like...
Yeah, then why don't we have 15.2 million views?
But there's
a
litany, if you will. There's a bunch of stories of people. It's all in like the last 24 hours, but it's like... Squares have been a staple of any playlist of mine for years.
Staple.
So many jams. When
jams.
I was in college, I went to
college.
A hometown shows in Chicago. One of their hometown shows in Chicago. After the show, they spent an hour or two chilling with a small group of fans under the red line. Got pictures, saved with them. Super awesome fellas. Another guy.
Guess what? Don't remember.
Yeah, I have no idea who you are.
No impact.
Some of the nicest, most down-to-earth dudes I've ever met. Went to say hi at Kingston. I remember this. Kingston before a show. That was in Ontario, our first trip to Canada. Before it started and noticed them out on the
shout
street.
Shout out, Dimebag Crew.
They just asked my buddy and I if we like Great Papes and passed a joint our way. And then all other people are asking, like, what are some albums to listen to? This is great, you guys. Word of mouth. Get this shit fucking posted up out there. And this seems like a good video to do it with for people who weren't there for the last 10 years. So this is, obviously true to form from our original style. We were always going to try to keep this, like, one take delivery thing going strong when we can. Great to see Palmer Squares on here. Super talented dudes. Nice as hell. They hung out with me at a bar a few hours before they went on stage and gave me a shout-out mid-set. Super down to earth. Dude, we rock. We're awesome.
Yeah, I'm catching like a common theme in all these comments.
We hang
like,
out with our fans. That's what we do.
We are too not famous to not be just in like around.
Too many negatives. What?
We aren't famous.
Not fame. We
famous
aren't.
People show up. an hour before their set. You don't see them. They're backstage. They come out when they're supposed to.
Yeah.
That's the first time you saw them all night. And then they leave through
the
back.
You see us at dinner before soundcheck.
Yes. you have the opportunity to get us too drunk to perform.
Every night, every show. And a lot of times, that opportunity is taken. Remember, your shit smells like dick guy? I threw up whiskey like before we left that show that night because he kept feeding it. And I realized like I was on shot number four in 10 minutes. I was like, wait a minute, fuck you. What are you doing? Like, he was trying to get me fucked up, and he did. That was after the show, though.
What a great guy.
What a guy.
His shit smells like dick.
And then I saw, like, such great feedback from this goddamn song. Again, streaming now. Download it, share it, yada, yada. Now, then there's one guy. One guy says, garbage. And of course, the one guy that said it wasn't good, it's like, I want to respond to him and be like, I went through my head of like, I'll just respond. I'm going to say something clever like, one man's trash, you know?
What kind of garbage?
I'm like, fuck this. Why would I respond to this one guy? Like, you know,
I read an article years ago about a guy that made a machine that turns garbage into oil.
I used to listen to the band Garbage when I was in seventh grade. I liked it.
I'm only happy when it rains. My mom used to put it on when she'd clean the house.
And then another guy said, people hate, but this is divine. I'd be like, who's hating? That one garbage guy? I'm just shocked that the feedback is always so positive. But then
it's
again,
that old silent majority.
Yeah.
That the politicians talk about. Most people think we suck. They just don't have to comment, you know.
Right. Here is actually an early question.
What? Already?
Let me see. Come on, dude. Play the fucking thing.
It's not
thing.
Playing.
Piece of shit, frick, dog crap.
You're beautiful. You're wonderful. You're doing a good job.
Are you serious right now?
Choose a Google Voice number.
Skip this. What is going on?
What?
This is why I pull shit up in advance. Dude, what is going on? It just erased all the fucking fan voicemails.
Oh,
you're all caught up?
Jeez.
What? You fucking piece of shit.
You guys hear this?
Oh my fucking God, dude. Unbelievable.
Acumenal has set down his microphone and is now typing in the password.
What would the password to this be? I don't know.
I don't know. I think Drew set it up. What's some Drew things? Try the belief cycle. What's Drew's birthday?
He said dog shit, mother fricker. Dude, I hope this doesn't fuck up all the voicemails because we fucking logged out of it and logged back in. You know, I meditated the whole time you were gone. You went and dropped Stevie Ray.
Didn't work.
No, it doesn't work yet. I got
to
get better at this.
You're bad at meditating.
I think I'm good at it, dude. I got like lost in my meditation to where I like snapped back. I was like, oh my God, yeah. Like, but this is why I need it in my life because I need to like make room for this fucking horseshit, this digital world piece of garbage. Anyways, here's a voice message from a fan.
From now on, you guys just write us letters. It's not like the fucking ink is going to disappear.
Okay.
Unless you use invisible ink.
The fucking Apple ID shit. They make you change your password like once a year. And it's like, I can't remember all these passwords. You know how many fucking passwords and logins I got between my personal life and our Palmer Squares shit? I'd say it's a literal litany.
A litany
like, literally.
Is a kitten-y?
Like literally. It's fucking so many. And then like I change it and then I fucking can't. It doesn't. It changes it, and then it doesn't remember that. I put in the right password before, and I had to change it again. And then I let Stevie log on, and then it logs me out of all my shit. I don't remember, dude. I don't remember TPS Reports fucking Gmail, the Palmer Squares at Gmail, my personal Gmail, every fucking business account. Anyway, here's a fan inquiring about the new video.
This better be good.
What's up? This is Thomas from Tennessee. I had a quick question about your new music video, Acknowledge. First shout out to Terms Ass and the freeze frame. My question was, so when you're doing these one-shot music videos, how many times does it usually take for you to get everything right? I would imagine it can't just be the first take. All right.
What?
Mailman's here. Why the fuck? Every time we put the goddamn microphones live, everything's got to fall apart. The dryer's loud. The fucking TPS Reports Gmail logs us out. The mailman's got a buzz. Dude, thank God we're seeing Legion of Skanks tonight, and I got something to look forward to because I'd fucking throw something through this window right now. What was his question? How many times did it take us to do these?
Anywhere from a few to a bunch.
Is a bunch more than a few? We've
gotten better.
Yeah. So rule of thumb for shooting the one takes, at least present day. Back in the day, we were worse. It took us longer. It would be less rehearsed and less prepared, and we would sound worse. And now we've been doing this shit for ultimately 10 years.
Less, like, used to a camera lens in your face. Used to be more nerve-wracking, thinking about how that camera lens represents 1 to 1 million viewers, you know?
So it's we know our fans are very fond of, like, these throwback one-take Cypher-style videos. So, like, we're trying to, I don't know, we're trying to bring the heat. We're trying to bring some punchline shit, and we want it to look good. A lot of times, at first, it's kind of anxiety-inducing, and we're feeling out the area. Like, that warehouse basement we were walking around in, like, we tried a couple different avenues, and then we figure out there's somewhere we didn't end in that bathroom, and we were like, oh, we should try and make it into the bathroom, and then we're like, oh, maybe when we're in the bathroom, we can end and, like, hit these stalls or something and kind of make the end. We figure it out on the fly, and then once, like, we find that pocket, and it's like, okay, we're going to start here, we're going to walk here, this is where Axe going to be for the yuck line, and then we're going to walk this way, and then by the end, we got to be back in this room. Once that's all, like, we're just figuring it out as we do the first few, and it feels very, like, unnatural and, like, this sucks. This feels like we don't know what we're doing.
I'm not a director.
Yeah.
You know?
And so I am. It's like, you got to look around and figure out where we're going to end up and what line is going to be by. We got to kind of hit this mark. And then once you're there, then you can, it's like we talked about last week in recording, I like to have a verse memorized. I don't like reading it because it sounds red. That's like the path we're taking while we're walking. It's like, I can't really commit to delivering these lines well while I'm still thinking about, like, ah, fuck, I didn't make it over here, and we never even got to the bathroom. And
right.
So once we got, like, our ABC, we're just like, we know the order, then we start really going for it. I feel like now we're really good at, like, not fucking up. Like, we can make it all the way through. These are shot in one take. So what we do is we usually try to shoot, like, between 10 and 20 full takes. That's what makes me satisfied in my head.
Options.
Like, I can go home, and I know we got enough options that maybe 9 of these suck, but we got to have a good one in there.
Use one where I'm wearing a hat. Use one where I'm not wearing a hat. Use one where I pull my pants down and sit down on that gross toilet at the end and pretend to be shitting, which we didn't even use.
You pulled your pants down on one?
Mm-hmm.
Ew.
Towards the end.
So there's all different ones, and it kind of sucks. Like, when I go home and watch them, I actually avoided watching all the takes for, like, days after we shot that, because it's like, we're not going to do a reshoot. So to me, it's like, I'm like, I hope we got a winner in there. And there's a chance that I don't like any of them because, you know me, overreacumental. Can't even meditate, this guy. It's fucking like, it's hard for me to be like, I got to watch all these and review
them.
God
forbid the mailman comes by while you're watching the takes.
So
Game over.
But then I really have to be in, like, the right state of mind to jump into that and watch all those. And it's like, I got to go watch me now. And it's fucking, I got to criticize myself and pick. And it's hard enough for me to even look at one and be like, oh, that one was good, you know? And I think I sent you, like, the best takes I thought, and, like, review all these, and what do you think? And you liked one that I wasn't even considering as the best one. Mm-hmm. And then I rewatched it, and I was like, you know,
which
that
is
one
hard,
is pretty good.
Being a duo, you know, sometimes you're going to encounter, like, my favorite take is his least favorite take, or vice versa.
Totally.
You know, where do we go from here?
Broken Language, fun fact, we've told you this before, but if you didn't know, there is a cut in between.
When the camera swoops up and goes over to me.
It's just a clean cut right there just because the camera was flying so fast.
And we had done that with every take. That was the way we would transition.
So we would still shoot that in one full take, right? And it started upside down for a terms thing, and then the cameraman flipped it.
Right.
And, yeah, I just happened to like mine so much better from another take than Term didn't like his. And then
and
vice versa. So we're like,
take,
maybe we splice them. We don't usually do that, but we did it in spit take, too.
The take that they used for you, right? Like the audio.
Yep.
Just the only take of the fucking 50 we shot where the audio just happened to fuck up and didn't work.
It was just mine too.
Right.
It was like, so all of the audio in my verse of Broken Language ended up being swapped from a different take.
It's like the take before, but we do it so many times, same thing
over
and over again. Our
consistency is pretty good.
Right, that you can take the audio from one take and sync it up to the video and you're not going to notice any.
That gave me such fucking, like, anxiety to watching that. And, like, I remember at first it was not as good. Like, it didn't fit as well, and I had to sit down with it. And we were in L.A. for the first time. We're working with a team from Knocksteady, and I'm just like, look, I want to be a diva on day one.
We're in this big, like, complex maker music complex thing. You know, we feel like fucking...
It was complex.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm like, my fans are going to skewer us if this... audio looks shit, like it doesn't fit or something. It's gotta
fake,
be.
Bullshit, gay.
You
suck.
But it ends up being all
garbage. Right.
And we actually will have only to do. We have to edit. This one, Acknowledge, was shot in one take. Like the, all of them always are, but like I said, some get a little splice. Acknowledge, we just picked the best video take, and there was like a spot or two. We have to. This fucking camera audio where there's like, dude, there's like people drilling upstairs and like doing construction. And there were some takes where a certain line has like and fucking stomp noises. And I'll be like, all right, let me punch an audio spot from this
or
other
sometimes
one.
Sometimes the cameraman will like, you know, click the lens doing the zoom shit.
Yep.
And you can kind of hear it in the audio. So you'll have to fucking take just one line from a different take.
Yeah. It used to be more of a purist thing of like, no, it's got to be the whole thing.
Well,
the, the video is the full thing.
Us in our living room and the camera's set on the counter.
Yep.
There's not really going to be any fucking shit.
That's probably the hardest thing about doing a one take is picking a location where there's limited distractions and limited room noise. Like other shit going on, city noise, traffic
outside.
Especially
outdoors, I don't like shooting. Even when it's like an official music video where we're just lip syncing. I don't like shooting in public where there's like, you know, some lady walking her dog now is like an audience.
Get all self-conscious.
You know, some kids when we were shooting Any Luck or something up on their balcony.
Right.
Yelling shit out. Basically
hey,
telling
we're
me
out
I
in
suck.
Public a lot of times or in just loud areas. It's hard unless we're at home, which
you
is
kind suck!
Of boring looking. You got to find somewhere that looks cool and is silent, and that's not easy. I remember when we shot Acknowledge, we wrapped, and I was still self-conscious. Like, we didn't get, like, we have enough, but I wish we had time to do a few more. Because by the end, you're like, you're feeling it. It's like, by the end, and you have a dozen of these, you're like, give me another one. Let's go. Let's keep fucking stacking options, because one of these is going to be really good. If we, and so I remember leaving that shoot, like, we didn't do quite enough for my taste, but I guess we're out of time. We're out of time. We got
to
go.
We only had a limited time to shoot. In the location,
right.
I had plans with my dad afterwards. I was like, I don't want to keep him waiting all night.
And then I got home, and I looked at all of them, and it was like six more takes than I even thought. I was like, wow, we fucking shot like 18 full takes or something. So, yeah, a lot. To me, it's if it's at least 10, I like more like 20 just to have a really good handful of options. And, yeah, we pick the best video, and if need be, we'll do a little bit of audio work from the other takes that were also shot live and
like,
fix it up so that we can present the best looking, best sounding version of what we shot. And then this is the first time we've recorded an MP3 version, which we're having on the stream platforms out now. So we used to not do that specifically. And now it's like, nah, fuck it. Let's give them a clean one. And maybe we do that in the future, too. So we're 10 years in. We're still figuring this shit out.
I remember back in the day shooting with Greg. I think it was the EOM Cypher.
Yeah.
Where I just biffed it so many times that we hit a point where, like, look, Greg wants to go home.
Yeah, we had to call it a night and try again.
Your amateur shit is fucking up this whole shoot. So I had to, like, go home, beat myself up, and then, like, the next day pick it up again.
Yep.
We're past that.
A lot of times now, actually every time now, we record a draft, even if it's on our phones or something, we record a rough that we can listen to and kind of, like get prepared and familiar with. And then we shoot. We actually were thinking in the future, we should go tour these before we shoot it. Let's get.
Let's get
we'll it really
it
comfortable.
When it's new, and then we'll take it on the road. And then, like, a year later, I wish that, like, I could have recorded the video now.
Like,
that I've spit it 100 times. I know to change this here, that this works better there.
When we play Picturesque Live now. Like, when you watch the video, it does not sound nearly as tight as, like,
exactly.
When you hear it live now, because we've played it live for over a year.
If we could do the Picturesque video now, I think I would smash it way better than I did in the video.
Yeah, not sweating out a hangover that morning. Like, I remember being so fucking hungover during that video, and I was, again, like, kind of anxious, like, did I blow it? Like, I barely remember shooting. I went home, I fucking ate a burrito, and I knocked
Resin
out for 3 hours.
Hitting my pipe in the parking lot.
Yeah, it was a rough day, and then I was like, damn, we actually kind of, I think that might have helped us. I was like, we were kind of, like, out of our element of just, like, I don't know, less focused, and it kind of sounded more natural. But yeah, we should. You got to get really prepared, and we never really did that. We're just starting to be like, let's rehearse the fuck out of these before we shoot them, so they don't sound, I don't know, worse than a live performance. But that's that.
And that's that.
And there's nothing else anybody wants to say about it.
Yeah, they whacked them.
They. I had a fan reach out with this clip a couple of days ago, and
hey, Eck, watch this clip. Is that what he said?
Something like that.
Typical.
So I guess Ben Shapiro said...
Ben Shapiro!
Who's this conservative Jew guy, right?
That's a proper way to describe him. I first saw Ben Shapiro years ago after Sandy Hook, where Piers Morgan every night was about gun control and shit. And he was just some fucking young kid with a yarmulke arguing Piers Morgan about the Constitution. Yeah. I liked him. I liked... Because I don't like Piers Morgan, and... He really got under Piers Morgan's skin by telling him that he was standing on the graves of the children of Sandy Hook and shit, which like really flustered Piers Morgan and pissed him off. Yeah. And then he brought like a miniature version of the Constitution and like gave it to Piers Morgan. And then by the end, Piers Morgan was like, "You could take your little book." And he was like, "Whoa, little book? That's the Constitution of the United States of America, mister."
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, this guy was not shook. Nobody's ever heard of him before, and it's a big platform and shit.
Yeah,
I thought he did a great job.
People hate
him. That there's a million other things, you know, standpoints of his that I don't agree with.
Of the little bit I've heard of Ben Shapiro, I'm very much like I see why people don't like him, but I also see that he's not a fucking idiot. He's very
right.
Good
I at least respect someone who's like researched on the topics that they're trying to discuss for the most part.
So here's this like viral clip, right? Somebody sent me this, and it's a very short snippet of like an over an hour long podcast. But this was what he said about hip hop music.
My case against rap is I have the musical case against rap, and then I'll get to the cultural case against rap. So the musical case against rap is that in my view and the view of my music theorist father who went to music school, there are three elements to music. There is harmony, there is melody, and there is rhythm. Okay. And rap only fulfills one of these, the rhythm section. That there's not a lot of melody and there's not a lot of harmony. Mm. And thus it is basically effectively spoken rhythm. And so it's not actually a form of music. It's a form of rhythmic speaking. and thus and so beyond the subjectivity of me just not enjoying rap all that much, it's what I've said before is it's not music. My case against
it's
rap
not music,
is
so.
I have
you know
music.
Sounds like me when I was 12. I didn't like hip hop.
Right.
I was like, not even music.
Fucking, it's just machines.
I just listened to the Ramones and shit. Like,
right.
Faux rock.
It's not
music.
A guy strumming a guitar. Then it's not music, bro.
I mean, you grew up in a rock household. It was very. It was similar, right? It was like
yeah. I've said all the time how when I was younger, I would even like Fish and stuff. I would make fun of and fucking lame. It's not real music.
Right. We had this like immature philosophy
pretentious little douchebag.
If I don't like it, then that means it must suck universally. Like people who like it must be idiots because I don't like it. And that's totally
and he also kind of reveals how this isn't necessarily a conclusion that I've come to through logic. It's, you know, because my father said it, and now I think right. It's inherited opinion.
So people are all got their undies in a bunch, and yeah, for that, because he said
the video that you're playing is off of Adam22's Twitter account, so I can only imagine all of the responses on his post is going to be people like, well, fucking racist, I'm going to punch him in the face.
Sure. And then, so he's got like a rapper dude on his show that they're doing an interview. And
Zuby.
They end up talking about this.
Zuby, Zuby, Zoo.
I didn't watch the full podcast, but I definitely wanted to watch more than that 40-second clip because he said here's my musical philosophy of hip-hop.
Yeah, didn't get to the cultural opinion.
And then he talks later about like the cultural thing. So I think his musical opinion is totally incorrect. And then this dude...
Yeah, I mean, by his definition, a drum solo isn't music.
Right. So
Buddy Rich wasn't a musician. What are you saying?
Because... This always happens. 40-second clip circulates, and everyone's talking about, dude, he called hip-hop not music. What a piece of shit. I
Who
agree
cares?
That he's, like, that. We all know he's wrong. It's fucking, like, the new rock and roll. It's hip-hop.
Yeah, stick to what you talk about. Stick to your qualified
Shut
subjects.
Up and dribble, Jew. So here's
Jews
a little...
aren't good at basketball.
A little later, I want to play this. It's, like, a minute long, but this is the dude responding, Zuby responding a little bit to...
Zuby, Zuby, Zoo.
In terms of the music aspects to it, whether or not you like that, it vibes with you and you're feeling with that.
Right, I mean, that's subjective,
that's totally subjective.
So my other kind of artistic criticism of rap is maybe a stereotype about how rap is written. So I have this kind of theory, and it holds true across all musical form, which is that art and craft are not in opposition, but very often they seem to be placed in opposition, meaning there's... and this... leads to my criticism of rock along the same lines as my criticism of rap, which was that rock was an actual degradation of skill for music from jazz, mm-hmm. which was actually a degradation of skill from classical. That
okay. So this dude, and clearly with his dad's mentality, he's a fucking old-timey classical music head. I actually never really thought about it that way, but I see what he's talking about. Like, music, it used to be more technical. Like, classical music is so technical. And then jazz is very technical, but it's not as tech as classical, maybe. And then you get to, like, hair metal, and now we got, like, Lil Wayne auto-tune.
You're telling me that fucking hair metal isn't, there's no craft to it?
No, I'm just saying it's like a degradation.
Mom's, he's telling me?
Like, from what music was hundreds of years ago and, like, the technical skill set of it. Mm-hmm. And then just, like, chords and, well, all right! It's just a little less, like, brilliant or whatever. I don't know. Like, so anyways.
The amount of talent and work, mostly work, that you have to put into mastering a classical instrument is a lot higher than the amount of talent that you and work you'd have to put into playing three chords.
I don't disagree with that.
In a rock song.
For sure.
And so when it comes to the lyrics in rap, maybe, I'm sure, part of it is because I just don't have a lot of experience listening to a lot of rap. But it seems like that there's a lot of praise that's put out for particular rappers who, mm-hmm. it seems to me, are doing something that doesn't seem innately very difficult. It doesn't seem like the lyrics have exact rhyme. I have this criticism of even, I mean, in musical theater, this is one of my criticisms of Lin-Manuel Miranda, actually, is that he doesn't use exact rhyme enough. He uses near rhymes, and he uses sort of easier forms of rhyme very often and stacks lyrics in order to make things sound more complex than they are.
Constitution, retribution.
And then movies about rap, and it seems like
see, if he would have heard Palmer Squares, like, I feel like we shoot for exact rhyme way more. Like, obviously,
well,
not everything is exact.
We also were very white, and it would come off a lot less authentic for us to put on... Because I think just use slang in order to make two things that don't really rhyme.
Right.
When we, you know, in our normal voices,
we can't put on the effect and take liberties like somebody who could like cool take slang and be like, oh, those words don't
rhyme.
I'm
sure Freddie Gibbs would do a lot better job of making barbecue rhyme with cows come home.
I mean, barbecue, cows come home. I don't know. It's in there.
What on how rap is constructed?
Sure. This really depends on the rapper. To be totally honest with you, there are rappers who I would totally agree. Do not spend much time or thought or energy.
I take it Ben Shapiro hasn't heard many like Black Thought.
Put something together and it's a very basic rhyme scheme, and they'll just go there and it'll be quite repetitive. In terms of the content, there's not really any decent message in there. They're not telling any story. They're not using any clever wordplay or anything like that. So to me, that's what makes a bad rapper. If you were to take a great rapper, I don't know, Nas, Eminem, Jay-Z, someone like that, whose lyrics are a lot more complex and in-depth than, you know, I'd like to, or myself, of course, I'd like to think a lot goes into it. In terms of the rhythmic patterns and what you'd call the flow, which is essentially how you ride the beat. So if you've got a beat that's faster tempo, you might rap at double the speed and have you're essentially using your voice kind of like a percussive instrument. Mm-hmm. It might be more comparable to drumming.
Which is rhythm, and that's only one of three tenets of music.
Right. But I like his response a lot.
Right, like J.I.D., if you're not really listening to the words, it just sounds like a vocal drum solo.
This reminded me, when he said it's the using your voice like a percussive instrument, and that's the rhythm, that's not the harmony. I think harmony is so... It's all over hip hop music. We make fun of it at the beginning of every podcast.
Right.
It's almost like a lot of shit.
Ben Shapiro is not up to date. I've heard him like criticize Future.
But he also.
That's all Future is harmony.
I'm sure all he hears is what's on the radio, and he's never really listened to Slum Village or, you know, MF Doom or whatever. So, Blackalicious, right? They have this song, Chemical Calisthenics, and it got popular because Harry Potter fucking went on Jimmy Fallon and then rapped it.
Oh, yeah.
Remember this?
History of rap thing.
Yeah. So.
Wasn't a medley of a bunch of shit?
No, it was Chemical Calisthenics, I believe, because this song is like this science. It's just a bunch of like, you know, it's like Breaking Bad, the rap verse. But listen to this real quick because it's so percussive and I've remembered this forever. It's like impressive.
Proton, neutron, mass effect, lyrical oxidation, your irrelevant mass spectrograph, your electron.
We opened for Gift to Gab at Punaru and fucking saw Blackalicious at that one festival where Dylan lost his mind on Molly.
Oh, yes.
But right here.
I totally forgot. Dylan just started saying gibberish.
Listen.
Of death, knit proportion, gaining weight, I'm every element around. Lead, gold, tin, iron, platinum, zinc. When I rap, you think iodine nitrate activate. Like uranium, the only
it's like it is drums. It's percussive. It's all percussion and him using his voice on top of the percussion instrument.
Let it flow, yo, just let it go. Get back. COOH2 lime water solution of calcium hydroxide slotted. CO2 lime will make bleach powder. Galvanic metal beads stuff out louder. Dry ice, CO square refrigerant. NO2 makes you laugh. It's laughing gas. You buy
that. Hey, I have that MF Doom shirt. I'm like oil of a troil. King of chemicals. I guess my point being, I find it very hard to say something like this even, which is very hip-hop. Even this, like, I couldn't say that's not music. Like, it's all rhythmic, but just because there's no melody harmony, and that doesn't mean it's not
like
music.
Like, by what he said, like, a fucking drum circle isn't music. And right. A drum circle is absolutely
it's
music.
It's so musical. As a drummer, I tend to agree. But no,
it's just not the music you're used to, and that's okay.
And then...
Yeah, I don't know. I think people just wanted another reason. People are glad to take another reason to hate a guy like Ben Shapiro.
And here's what he... Because he said he had thought about the musicality of hip-hop, excuse me. And then, like, the cultural. Here's him talking about the cultural element.
United States, there's been criticism, and I think some of it is well-founded, about the messages that are pervaded by hip-hop and rap. And... You know, there are folks like Candace Owens on the right who have critiqued my critique of hip hop. They've said that I'm not really seeing a lot of the deeper messages in hip hop. She particularly likes to talk about the value of capitalism and success in hip hop. She says that, like, to cite the Trump example, the emulation of success in hip hop is really strong, and she sees that as a strong positive. From the outside, when I listen to hip hop, I don't hear a lot of family-oriented messages. In fact, I hear a lot of messages that are degrading to women. I hear messages that push violence.
Chance the Rapper much? Guy loves his wife. Let's go.
That are disparaging to the police.
Dear Mama?
I hear messages very often that seem to treat relationships between men and women as something disposable or glorify mistreatment of women. And that's not a criticism of your art, because obviously I want to discuss your messages in a second.
Yep.
But the art form overall, which obviously has a major impact, not just on black young people, but is disproportionately listened to actually by white young people. I don't particularly like a lot of the messages that I hear in hip hop. By the way, I've made similar criticisms of pop music, which I think does a lot of the same things. What do you make of that particular critique?
You're not going to get a lot of pushback from me on that one, because I think you're correct.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like how people who don't like Ben Shapiro or people on the right, it's like they're going to do more. Or like last week, Shane Gillis was hired by SNL and then immediately fired by SNL because people looked into Shane Gillis solely for the reason of finding things they don't like about him.
Right.
And Ben Shapiro's kind of doing the same thing with hip-hop. Like, you can find countless hip-hop musicians and songs and whatever that don't have the things he's talking about, but then he doesn't have anything to complain about.
Right, but also the mainstream, the spoon-fed radio shit,
absolutely,
which he's more familiar with. Like, I tend to not disagree with this either. Like, it's just, like, I wouldn't push back too much either. It's, that's what the same shit that me and when I was in high school, like, fucking all this money hoes, bitches, fucking, like, I thought that was
all
so...
All things I don't have, so therefore I don't want to hear a guy
all things I still don't
them.
Have. No car, no no bitches. So, but I get that, especially from this guy who's just like a religious conservative dude. He's talking about family values and hip hop. So, and he makes a good case later on in this. I'm not gonna play the whole thing, but he talks about like Snoop Dogg, who he like enjoys, and he seems like a family man. He coaches Pee Wee football. He's a very like family oriented dude. But you hear his music, and it's all this like fuck the system, fuck the police. And he's like, well, the system that made you this, you know, the system worked because you were putting shit out in the system.
You had the
that made
to
you
put
succeed.
Out music, and people had the freedom to buy it. And now you're a big success.
Exactly.
Guy.
So, but all the messaging in the music.
But that
is
doesn't
like,
mean
fuck
that
bitches,
didn't
fuck
come
the
from a fucking community that got less than other communities, and that fucking were harassed by the police and shit. You know, it is a culture that sprung out of the fucking voice of
the oppressed
black. Yeah, mainly oppressed black people from the streets.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's why some like
basically the opposite of Ben Shapiro,
some nerdy white religious guy doesn't understand.
You gotta try a little harder and put yourself in shoes that aren't yours to understand it.
I'm not
gonna
say
why isn't this touting all the values that I grew up with?
Right, I'm not gonna say the Jews were never oppressed, but I don't think Ben Shapiro like is looking at fucking hip hop from the
he
same
element in the camps
of N.W.A. in the '80s. No. You know, recording mixtapes and shit. So obviously anybody who saw that clip of him saying like, it's not music to me because it's barely rhythm and there's tenets of music and it's been degraded as the genres have evolved, blah, blah, blah. Like, I get why that's going to
look, we choose know a thing or two about the ghetto.
But then he goes on, like, I think his, yeah, musicality argument is pretty uninformed and ridiculous. And then I don't totally disagree with the whole cultural shit, because it's always been that way. Just like, that's why we try to bring this lyrical creativity or whatever. Like, it is music. And I think you can pack more of them. They talked about this later. It's just like using your voice is louder and larger a lot of times in hip hop, and you can pack more of a punch lyrically and vocally. Your message is stronger. I guess country music is very, you know, similar with strong message, but it all, you know, same thing, sounds the same like hip hop, and it's just the same. All my truck and my whatever.
It's the woes. It's about the woes, you know?
What?
The woes, W-O-E. Your trials and tribulations.
I thought you were like talking about harmonies. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I've been watching the Ken Burns country music documentary on PBS.
I bet you have.
It's very good. But as Chris Christopherson said, it's the white man's soul music.
Yeah.
Or he might have said the white man's blues. I don't know. But even in that, they show you how every major figure in country music had a black influence and a black figure in their life who they wouldn't have necessarily become who they became without.
Right.
You know?
Let's move on to another fan question. We actually, like I mentioned earlier when I was losing my mind momentarily, it's a Monday here where we are, and just like that fateful night on No More Jobs Tour two years ago, we have an off night. We're like less than an hour from New York City. We're going to go watch our buddies, the Legion of Skanks, do their show tonight with Artie Lang, so I'm sure we'll have more to talk about
Artie
next week.
Lang, dude.
That's crazy. Like, arguably one of the funniest people ever.
Big fan of Dirty Work.
Mm-hmm. Also one of the biggest disasters in entertainment ever. but let's do a few more questions, and then we'll try and keep it a little tighter. Hey, guys, I just wanted to ask Term about his collaboration with Purple on the song Tide. As a longtime listener, I've always been curious about how this collab came together. I hope you haven't addressed it before on the pod.
No.
Is this the first time Term debuted?
What happened?
What? The first time Term debuted his vocals on a chorus on a TPS associated track. Is that like the first time you sang?
Probably not. I don't know.
For Term, how was shooting that video and how was acting in it?
The song came about through Sky Adler, who produced Muff Hugger. At least at the time, the girl on that song was his girlfriend. And he reached out to me asking, you know, she was working on her first project and asked if I would be featured on a song or whatever.
Yeah.
But even though it's not as vocal, it's like I sang on we going in like a motherfucker. That's singing.
Yeah, it is, but it's not like.
That's melody. That's harmony, Ben Shapiro.
Well, it's not Paralyzed, man. It's like it's two different styles of your voice and what you can accomplish. That's the shit people have been asking for. It's
no,
like, sing more.
I would have to like look at the track lists to our first three projects and then see like, oh, I sang on that.
Right. It probably wasn't the first time, but it was. It was like one of those things that typically wouldn't even end up on our channel. I think we were just like, yeah, well, we have the...
I don't even remember how the Purple song goes. And what did I sing in that?
It was the...
she does the chorus, doesn't she?
The Sandman beat, right?
Yeah, but isn't she the hook?
I don't remember. You know, like, people ask so many times if, like, she's my sister or if, like, we're related. I'm like, do we look anything alike?
I don't know. Bring up the video.
It's like the first video they see Termin without me next to him. They're like, is that Ack?
Did Ack
transition?
Cut his hair? Is he wearing a dress?
I
mean, yeah. The second he said what the song that it was about, I was thinking this is too long ago for me to really have an answer. As far as the music video goes, I think I was like hungover or something. I remember like you weren't involved, so you didn't come with me.
No, I certainly did not.
And then I'm getting there like, oh, I'm going to have to spend the whole afternoon with a bunch of people I don't know.
Yeah.
What's this going to be like?
How was it?
It was cool. The bathtub thing was the most memorable thing to me because it was pretty dirty. And they were pretty just ready to put me in it. And I was like, can I wipe this tub down a little bit? There's like pubes in it and shit.
Pube tub? Does she look like me without a beard?
She looks like your mom a little bit.
It's not me. And your mom, my sister, it's my like mom. I look so much like my mom.
That could be young, monumental. I don't sing on this, do I?
Maybe you...
Okay, I do this.
Maybe you harmonize with her at the end? I don't remember. We don't know shit.
I remember those dancer girls. One of them was pretty cute, and I didn't have any. I guess me being the artist is a good icebreaker, but it wasn't good enough for me.
Nope. So you had to, like, lip sync submerged in a tub?
Mm-hmm.
Here you go.
This was a very cool shot to do. We were in the living room and holding umbrellas, like it's raining in the living room. I don't remember who directed this or if Sky Adler directed it or what. But whoever was filming it is just behind the camera with a hose that they like dragged from outside into the living room. Yeah. And it was just like thumb over the hose, squirting it into an arc so it was landing on top of the...
Nice.
It was fun.
It's like the Anilek video where it's raining on me, but you're dry and we're standing right next to each other. They had like a baking sheet like that you'd make some big like family event mac and cheese in.
It was so like...
And they screwdriver punched holes in it and would pour buckets of water like while someone over a window...
amateur production.
...above me like held that outside and then they like poured water into it really fast to get that shot. I remember shivering cold even though it was like a warm night because once you're coated in cold water, it doesn't really matter if it's warm out.
Right.
It's fucking freezing. But... That video turned out really well. I forgot all about that shit.
One was Hall of Famers, which is also Paul, when they figured Psycho. Out the watering can.
Mm-hmm.
It works great for rain or shower or whatever. A pan with holes poked in it, not so much.
It didn't work the first time, and then they had to like reevaluate and try again for the Anilek rain shot.
Right,
but
you're already all soaked.
Yeah, it worked out. It was worth it.
Once again, a shoot where we're standing outside getting water poured on you, and there's just people walking home. Like,
yep. What are those guys doing? That's one of the things about just doing a video where there's no like production studio or whatever. It's like, well, let's go outside and we're going to lip sync on the street. It's like, yeah, I don't want like these people across the street looking at me and looking stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe they're
very
thinking
self-conscious.
Like, I was watching because we're going to do that show in Philly this Friday, and Chris Gears is going to be there. So we're like, let's rock that song we did, Grow Up. If you've never seen that video, we're walking around the lake in Chicago. You can see people like walking past us and turning around and like gesturing to their friend, like, look at these assholes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what you go through every day. It's like, whatever. Like, you get 21,000 views in 3 days, huh?
Huh?
Yeah. Let's do another question. A couple people. I've been saving a few questions because,
Hey, this question's for Eck. What do you think of the new season, Mindhunters? Have you seen it?
Why don't I get to be asked?
Shut up. This is for me.
I watched it.
Shut up.
I watched the first one, too.
Zip the shit
zip,
up.
Zip, zip.
No, yeah, we both watched Mindhunter separately. It's a good-ass show.
I watched it with my mom a bunch.
Okay.
I live with my mom.
I like that show. I like how...
got to find common ground to spend time with the fam. Things, you know, shows to watch.
Right. It's like I almost hope for more at the end, and I feel like let down initially because I wanted to get to like BTK Killer. I thought they were,
right.
You know, they opened the intros with it every time, and then at the end, it's like they're just kind of teasing it and using it as like a foundation.
I knew BTK didn't get caught till like 2004.
I thought they were going to at least get to like focusing on him more.
Yeah.
And the pursuit of catching him.
Or just
him.
Like show him murder someone.
Because he's a part of every episode, but just the beginnings. Then in the last episode, he's like a part of the end. It's like, oh, they're not actually going to get to this. It's just circulating around the time he began committing those crimes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know, it's this show about when they started introducing like a behavioral science department into the...
It's mainly one dude, but in the show, they make him two people.
Yeah, so they start. They try to like go and have conversations with convicted and incarcerated serial killers
to
learn more about their mentality.
Yeah, who at the time they called multiple killers.
Right.
This dude who it's based on, I believe, is the one who coined the phrase serial killer.
Right. But it's a good show, and the people that they get to play some like famous killers that they do a good job.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's definitely. I think the part of the show that people responded to most, especially like first season, and then in the second season, there's a little less of it. So at the times where they do have it, those are like kind of my favorite parts. But when they're at the jail interviewing serial killers is like the best part of the show to me.
Yeah, but that is the show, and they're trying to. I'll say this without trying to say too much for people who haven't seen it, I guess, but fucking whatever. Go watch on Netflix. There's an element in season two where I agree. It's like all about those interviews, and those are like the checkpoints.
Season two is a lot more investigation.
Yeah, and it's like every interview they do. Those are like these. I just said checkpoints, but it's like, yeah, there's other stuff and you learn about what's going on in their home life and whatever and the dating. And then they come back to these and those are like, that's like the foundation of the show. I did like that the main dude, what was his name? Tench, right? Bill Tench.
That's the older guy.
Yeah. So he has a kid and his job of like studying and interviewing serial killers and like... He takes him away from home a lot, and then his kid gets into some weird shit that pulls him away. And I liked that element of like his kid did some fucked up shit, and it's arguable that it was because maybe the kid got into a file that dad brought home, saw some weird pictures, and now like his job is being compromised because like the home life and his work life that were usually so separate. It's like this motherfucker's going to be interviewing his kid soon, incarcerated if he doesn't. So making like a that compromise of the character of like normally they'd be like someone would talk about how yeah when they're kids you can't help them they're already killing animals and doing weird shit and now he's like well he's just they're dumb kids like he's like going back on how hard ass he always was and I like that like duality to his character in this season but everything else is like a little it's like fluff pieces between the interviews
so it's him and then Agent Ford who's the younger dude.
Looks like a young Cary Elwes.
Cary Elwes mixed with Daniel Tosh was what I was going to say.
Yeah,
it's like Daniel Tosh and Cary Elwes ran full speed at each other and turned into this guy. And he's like the more by the book. You know, they show at one point how they're at a social party with a bunch of like higher up heads who they have to impress. And Bill Tench, the old school, older guy.
Guy can tell a story.
He's the guy who knows how to pour me a glass of whiskey and I'll fucking tell you the interesting stuff and entertain these. And then fucking Daniel Tosh Ellis guy comes over and he's just Mr. let me explain to you the technicalities.
By cross-analysis
of the DNA. Boring the shit out of everybody. But without him, you wouldn't have, you know, such advancements.
Right.
But yeah, the two of them are really just one guy who they had to turn, you know, it's television. You got to make it interesting, especially having an old, you know, an old fucking street smart guy when the young book smart guy, how are they going to get along dynamic, makes a television show much more interesting than just one dude.
Ultimately, I do enjoy that show. I like season one a lot, and season two didn't let me down. It was some good shit. I don't have a ton of shows that I care about and watch.
Charles
one
Manson
of them.
Guy was great. What's his face? Ed something.
I forget. The one where...
the co-ed killer.
Yeah.
I'll find him here.
Well, let's do another question.
It's Ed something.
Yeah, Ed something.
He's like everyone's favorite from season one. Season two, he appears at one point, which almost felt like they didn't need that scene, but they just wanted to give you some more of him because everyone loved him so much in season one.
Right. Oh, Kemper.
Kemper.
Yeah.
Ed Kemper. And yeah, the guy that did Charles Manson was really fucking good at being Charles Manson.
But yeah, Mindhunter.
He's so good at being Charles Manson that Quentin Tarantino cast him as Charles Manson in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood also. This guy is
That was him?
Yeah, this guy is just the Manson guy.
Well, I don't think Tarantino saw Mindhunter season two while he was in production for his new movie.
He could have.
I don't think so.
It's possible.
I think he shot this movie at least a year ago. At least
Maybe
1 year ago.
Maybe they shot Mindhunter 2 a year ago.
What does he have to do with the production of Mindhunter?
I don't know. He's
what
in
are you
both.
Talking about? And Manson was in like a half of fucking one shot. Not even a scene. Like one shot of the fucking Tarantino movie. I would have never known that was the same guy. They didn't really use Manson in the Tarantino flick.
Manson,
he
actor,
walked through a yard
Mindhunter.
Before Brad Pitt lit his cigarette on the roof.
How Damon Hirman wound up playing Charles Manson in Mindhunter and Once Upon a Time
please,
in Hollywood.
Please, because there's no way it's because Tarantino was on set like, this guy's good. I'm going to bring him in next week.
For many actors, nabbing the part of Charles Manson even once would be a role of a lifetime. This guy's Australian, and for him it happened twice.
Put another shrimp on the bloody barbie and Chisnet.
He reprised, right, so they're saying Once Upon a Time in Hollywood he did first.
Exactly, because it's a fucking 3-hour feature film.
He also plays Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is like when it happened. Technically, you see him before the murders ever happened. 1968.
I think Mindhunter probably got caught wind of the fucking scuttlebutt about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and was like, who'd they get to play Manson? Actually, we got Manson.
Parentheses here, he actually booked Mindhunter first.
Well, fuck us both in the ass.
The double Mansons cap off a whirlwind year of playing creeps for Hiraman, who also appeared as a scummy British soldier in The Nightingale. British soldier. Whoa, that was him? I saw that movie. It was crazy. A lot of rape.
I just watched Unbelievable on Netflix. Mm-hmm. A lot of rape.
He was really good, though. I think he's the guy that I was saying is like an Australian Michael Rooker.
Yeah.
And he plays like a real scumbag who whole time you're just like, I hope this guy gets his.
New Halloween costume idea for me. Maybe better you. Michael Rookerport. Right?
Oh, like Rappaport?
Yeah, dude, mashed up whatever they say and do and look like them.
So how did he end up playing the same guy in two unrelated projects? Bizarrely, it was a coincidence. Two productions happened to have Charles Manson character in them.
And he's
audition,
that's me.
I had the opportunity to audition for both. That's pretty much it. If you're going,
he cornered the market on Manson roles in the fucking year when they like there was more than one out there.
Well, if you're going to cast Charles Manson, you can only cast people of a certain height because Charles Manson was
short.
Shorty.
Yeah.
So that narrows the pool because the guy was incredibly short, a lot shorter than me, but I'm only 5'7", so I scraped into the pool. Mindhunter came about 6 months before Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, even though they ended up shooting within 2 weeks of each other. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like for when they both came out, this summer or this fall, you know, stuff, it takes a while to shoot it and post-production and release it.
He's friends with two people that were in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which helped him secure
Ooh,
the role.
Dish. Who?
Nicholas Hammond, who I don't know who that is, and Timothy Margot Oliphant. Oh. He was in it, right?
I can't put a face to that name. I just know
he's the
name.
Guy from Deadwood.
Never saw it. The main character?
The girl next door.
I have seen that.
Go
back to Girl Next Door. I don't know where you're going.
He's like the badass boyfriend of the porn star girl. You know, feeds the kid ecstasy and whatever.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Together they brought up my name, and when they heard that Manson hadn't been cast yet, they suggested me to Quentin Tarantino.
The more you know. Look at that. Here's another question.
But yeah, in Mindhunter, he's playing Manson in like 81 or something, years after he's been arrested, and he's like this infamous character, you know.
Strongly recommend. Good show. Here's somebody
really
asking
show.
About a movie that is a new release.
I'm going to go watch a movie.
A movie.
Yo, it's George. So for Tarman Ack, I was wondering,
hey, George.
What were your guys' thoughts on It too? You know, Ack from the horror movie book kind of guy and Term from the movie critic angle. What were your guys' thoughts on it? All right, later.
So he says, act from the horror movie guy and Term from the movie critic angle. What are your thoughts on It?
Little long.
Chapter 2. We did see that in theaters like a week, 2 weeks ago, maybe.
Yeah.
From the horror movie perspective, as he set me up, we talked about it after. It's like, I don't know if anybody else liked it or didn't like it. I left the theater. I'm like, I like what they're fucking doing with these It movies.
Yes.
From a horror fan perspective, because they're... It's not lazy. Like, the visual effects and the fucking creepy old lady running around and the
Best
big
part.
Clown stuff. It's
Best
like
part of the movie.
It's, like, really not only well done and, like, doesn't look like shitty effects. It's, like, it's creepy. And
yes.
I'm not sitting there like, I'm scared. But as a horror movie fan, I'm like, It 1 and It
when
2.
She ran
I was like, fuck
out of
yeah.
the kitchen. I'm 29 years old, you know?
Yeah.
I don't need to like run up the basement stairs when the lights are off and shit. But when she ran out of the kitchen, there definitely was like a, ooh, that is freaky.
Yeah.
Ooh, they did a good job here.
I
got a little chill.
I'm the demo for these movies, and these type of movies are the things you think could easily flop, but I think both the It movies were actually pretty fucking good horror movies.
I know when I go into a horror movie that, you know, 90 plus percentile chance, I'm not about to see... You know, English patients.
It's not
going to
be an Oscar
sophisticated
nominee.
Sophisticated Oscar material.
I like how I just said it. Both It movies, and I'm not even talking about the original one.
I want.
It doesn't even count anymore.
Blood and guts. You know, that was my criticism with that Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark or whatever. I loved the books as a kid, so obviously I want to go see a film adaptation, but it's PG-13, so I know before I even go in the theater, I'm not going to get the fucking gore and shit that I want. So when I go to a movie like It 2, I don't need it to be the best screenplay I've ever fucking seen.
No, it's a horror movie.
I just want good gore and horror, and they for sure delivered.
Yeah, it was. I watch so many shitty movies. I like shitty horror movies. Like I shit all over that 31 movie or something. It's like I didn't even like hate it. I just wasn't a fan. I love like corny and BC rate horror movies.
It's kind of like the point.
I'm a fan of those too. And the campiness, I enjoy that. Like, you know, I don't watch American Horror Story. I watched season one and I just could not stick with it. But I see the trailers for the new shit on Hulu or whatever.
The new one is like Jason.
It's 1984. It looks like the fucking
slasher.
That's me to a T. Right. Show me some 80s slasher campy shit. So it's like, I might even watch that just because maybe it sucks. Maybe, I don't know. That's like the whole thing. But yeah, the It movies.
Even the first
one. I think they're going to be like kind of.
First 5 minutes, a four-year-old boy gets his arm bitten off by a clown. I'm in.
And then the first 4 minutes of the new one, it's like really graphic, like gay bashing. And like yes. They like kill a gay guy and call him a faggot a bunch. I'm like, Jesus Christ, they just started that.
Technically, Pennywise is who kills him.
True. But either way, when
not
I
as though the guys
they,
who beat him up weren't trying to kill him.
They is inclusive Pennywise of the killer the clown, too. But it was like, yeah, like you almost expect.
There's stuff like that where I'm like, is this in the book or are they trying to.
Well, at this point,
is
no.
It new stuff they're that doing, they're trying to drive
It's
home?
All new stuff at this point. I've never read the book.
I think a lot of it was from the book. And that was the thing with most of my criticisms where there's some corny stuff. You know,
oh, you
the,
know what?
The used to be fat kid wants to hook up with the fucking hot
right.
girl now when they're older. But I can't criticize this too heavily because this very well may have been in the book.
The original It movie with Tim Curry was chapters 1 and 2 together. Like they grow up from kids like very quick in the movie. I wasn't even thinking about that they split the fucking book into 5 hours of film between like
Which,
two and a half
Stephen
hour
King
movies.
Book is like that still might not be enough time.
Yeah, chapter 3 might be coming, but like. Yeah, I actually I expect to be let down almost of like these A-list blockbuster horror movies. I'm like, this is gonna suck.
I wish they could have got Amy Adams to play the girl grown up because she looked more like the young actress from the first one. But it's the director of Mama who's worked with Jessica Chastain before,
Jessica Chastain,
I'm sure she
right.
was a lot easier.
I thought
to
that
get.
Was a good cast.
It was still a good cast. Bill Hader was really great.
Yeah,
they cast him as I don't know if that's in the book, but his character. Grown up is now a stand-up comic. So as a guy who's more known to be funny than serious, it gave his character and a window to you can be funny and it'll fit in the plot, you know?
Right.
But he was great.
Yeah, that scene at the like Chinese restaurant when they're all catching up and he's basically his role in that scene is comic relief and he's like roasting right. all the people. Like it's really funny. He's I thought like, oh, Bill Hader's just gonna give a bunch of corny comic lines.
And
but
it's
he
not
was fucking
done
good.
Like standard Judd Apatow comedy nowadays where it's just fucking improv a bunch of lines of what he looks like. Oh, you look like a dad who's picking his kid up from soccer practice.
Yeah.
You look like a this, you look like a that.
He's like, yeah, why don't
That's
you
like the new comedy.
Improv 15 lines about like what this guy
Judd
looks
Apatow,
like.
Not a criticism of him, but he changed comedy films.
That's almost a compliment to
right.
him. Like he was so influential
that,
to his genre.
Right, that powerful. But it does annoy me to where like that's the new funny in movies is like it's just improv the actor making fun of like you look like a carnival guy.
Yeah.
See, I'm not funny, so I'm not going to come up with any. But yeah, they like every you know person in the movie has like the comedy quips of like a fucking professional comic.
That's what you
which bugs me. It's like in Juno, all the shit she would say. That's like that's not what you say. Her water breaks and she goes, "Thundercats go!" Yep. Can you stop being a quirky bitch for 3 seconds?
Kelly Clarkson,
Dad, my water broke. That's what you would say.
Right. They're going to cast Term in season 3 of Mindhunter, the comedy version. He's be like, you look like Cary Elwes and Daniel Tosh ran at each other full speed.
Exactly.
I want to do more questions, but like I said, we're on a limited fucking time frame. I might save some of this.
Save them for next week.
I'm trying to go see my boys, baby. What?
Yeah, I'm trying to go get a close-up look at Artie Lang's weird nose.
Damn it, this night has potential to be so much fun. And we're going to make fucking chicken and broccoli together and smooch.
Oh, it's marinating, baby.
Let's get it. One last question, and we got to wrap it up early.
Oh, it's a long one.
Yo,
19 seconds.
Nick from New York here called in a couple weeks ago.
It's Nick from New York. He's calling
in. Hey, he's a New Yorker.
This guy's a New Yorker over here.
Hey, why don't we just fucking meet up at the stand? You can ask me face to face.
Because he's going to hear this 48 hours after we record it.
All right, whatever.
Terms driving around New York City last night, probably upwards of 20 times, yells out his window at people like walking on the bridge and just buying like cotton candy and all this New York. I'm a New Yorker.
Hey, I'm walking here.
I'm walking over here. New York.
It's fun. It's fun to me.
Hello, Nick.
Yo, Nick from New York here. Called in a couple weeks ago. Just wanted to know if you guys take song requests for your concert. I would love to hear Stranger's House. It's one of my favorite songs. Got tons of my friends on to you guys from that song.
I guess
definitely
it's
would
songs.
Love to hear it on Wednesday
songs.
In New York City on the 25th. Take care.
Oh, my God. That's today if you're listening on podcast day.
Pianos.
Come see us at Pianos. We're going to play a lot of songs. I'm going to play a whole litany of songs.
I don't believe we have an instrumental for such a song.
I actually don't think we do.
It's also like a bunch of other people on it, so it would be hard to figure out how to perform it without them.
Without Vanna Black, it might be. Like, dude, I have like 3 bars on that song. I have no verse on that song.
I like my bars on that song very much. I feel like I crushed it.
Yeah, I'm not saying my bars were bad. There's just less of that.
Rap show, mushrooms in a capsule.
A lot of that was based
fuck
on...
Fuck with that, Ben Shapiro.
Obviously, on the tour. Like, someone gave us mushroom capsules, you know? Like,
that we didn't even eat.
Yeah, I wish I would have eaten one of them.
Stevie told me that it could have been the same dude that some guy on the West Coast gave him those, and that they're actually... They're kind of cool, but yeah, you don't... It's not like you're going to trip balls. It's microdosing. It's got like ginseng and mushroom
sipping
dust in it.
Sipping on ginseng.
Yeah, probably not though.
Stranger's House is probably not going to happen. But to answer the initial question, with the new way that we run our sets, playing requests is an option. I oftentimes will ask the crowd, like, "What do you guys want to hear?" And in hopes that they yell something out that I have programmed, because we don't have all of our songs in the machine. Like, we kind of DJ for ourselves now. And I like to, I have like 3 or 4 times the songs programmed that we have the time to play.
Yes.
Like if we play an hour, I've got 3 hours worth of songs in there. And that's still not even like, we could have 10, like we have so much music. And people want requests, boom, dip,
really
Stranger's
do.
House. It's like, it's hitting
quite
a point.
Accomplished.
So I, sometimes people just start yelling out titles of shit where it's like, okay, that's not even in here. And then sometimes people start yelling out all the right shit, something we didn't plan to play. And it's like, you know what? I got that. Let's throw it in there. And like, it's not unheard of, but at the same time, don't heckle. There was a guy the other night who was just like every song. And then he was like, bullshit. And I was like, look, I hear a lot of requests. So we're not going to play bullshit. Ha,
this
ha,
fucking
ha.
Guy. Listen, last time
bullshit.
You did the same thing and we played it then. So you got your thing. Second of all, don't untie my shoes.
This guy was untying terms. We played a show in Newport, Kentucky last...
Oh, blue moon of Kentucky, keep on shining.
We show up with 3 minutes to spare before our midnight set because it took us for... Like, we left the city late and it just took forever to get out there. So we get there right on time for a set, have, like, no time to do it, like, a proper sound check or whatever. So we just kind of plug in and then we open with the new song, Acknowledge, and it's like, I stopped it 10 seconds in. I was like, yo, what the fuck is going on with the sound?
Sound like
you
booty,
hear that?
Son.
The stage sound is contender for worst... Shen? I've ever experienced.
Yeah, it was dog shit.
Like, we walked out in the crowd with our mic, and we're just like, I guess it sounds okay out here. But then we go on stage, it sounds
still
like
not great, but
it's like
it's not what it sounds like up there.
A room where the sound, like, bouncing off the walls, it creates this wind tunnel of sound, and it's like a tornado of your own, like, echoing voice, and you're like, am I even on the beat? Dude,
it's
I can't
to,
hear
yes,
myself.
Hard to stay on at time, and then for some reason, those monitors... I was
so
hearing
weird.
Things in our instrumentals that I've never heard before, that I didn't know were even there. I don't know what was up with those monitors.
I thought
in the
moratorium
mix.
Was like glitching. I was like, dude, there's like some sort
there's
of
like a crackling noise every bar.
But there was like a high toned percussion layer that was like click 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 that I'd never even heard. It was so buried, but these monitors were like sharply shooting it into our fucking ears, and we're like,
only living my fucking. Which I had commented on the ride how much I hate those doubles, and I wish I would have never done
doubles.
Them, but or those ad-libs of like, ey. And then on the stage, it's like the loudest thing possible. We have a new song where, you know, it's going to be on our next album, and the song ends with like a gunshot.
Yeah.
That was
I actually got a bullet in me from the high tone of that.
No, it was the quietest thing in the whole song.
Yeah. That was fine.
It's weird.
It was, I'm glad we made it out of that one alive because the stage sound was so bad and we played like three or four new songs where it's like,
and then I got this,
we
fucking
shouldn't try
drunk,
these right now.
This fucking drunk untying my shoes while I'm standing in, you know, at the front of the stage.
If he would have tied them together,
if
he'd be a
Kevin
legend.
If I was Kevin Gates, you'd have no teeth, dog. If I was a real man,
you would have kicked this. You would have said, hey, say goodbye to your face.
Yeah. It should, but it's just like I've said before, of like my biggest fear is hitting the guy and then everyone else being like it totally kills the vibe of the room and everyone like, why'd you do that?
This guy unties terms.
I
boots.
Thought I was justified. He's untying my shoes.
He's untying
I'm
your
to think
shoes
of words.
While you're rapping in the front row. And it's like if he would have tied them together so you stepped over and tripped, dude would have been a legend. Yes. I would have never had like I wouldn't be like, oh, this asshole's untying.
You go from kicks to hugs.
But yeah, shout out to everybody that came to that show also. Shout out to Ashley for giving us more fan art.
The best.
You've probably seen it a lot on the fan page and stuff. We've reposted it, but she always comes through with these Cincy area shows with paintings of us, for us. We don't even want to take them. It's just like, no, like this is your work. She's like, I made them for you.
She'd be like, this is the best thing I've ever done. Here, take it.
Yeah.
Like, shouldn't you?
Yeah, shouldn't you hold on to this one?
Keep it.
But thanks so much to her. Thanks to everybody that we didn't even have time to load.
T-shirt?
We didn't load merch in, so we like brought a whole line of 10 people out to the car and sold shit out of our car like it was fucking 1991.
Jeez, dude.
Jeez, dude. And shout out to Drew Baca for letting us crash at his place afterwards.
True.
Anywho, we got to get on with our bullshit because not only...
This chicken ain't going to bake itself.
Nope, we got to make some chicken. We got to go see the Legion of Skanks be funny. And then we got to... find time to practice our set for fucking Boston, New York, Baltimore, Philadelphia, and more this week. Speaking of, you've been listening to the TBS Rewards podcast. Catch us on tour, you guys. If you're listening on Wednesday when this comes out, we're playing in New York City, New York, New York, tonight at Pianos.
I'm a New Yorker!
I'm walking it!
Oh!
So catch us at Pianos. We play late, probably around like 11. Come check us out. We got Baltimore on September 26th. That's Thursday at Angel's Rock Bar. Philadelphia Friday night at Kung Fu Necktie.
Woo!
With Chris Gears, Rowdy City, and more. Stevie Ray. Stevie's on all these shows. We're also hitting Portland, Maine at the 5 spot on September 28th. Winooski, Vermont at Monkey House on September 29th. That's with Jarv.
Jarvis!
And
I think Mr. Burns?
Yeah. Portsmouth, New Hampshire at Book and Bar on September 30th.
Which you might have seen, I think it's Facebook or whatever, the event page. They like linked it with the wrong venue, a place called Book Bar in Denver.
Classic mistake.
We are not coming to Denver.
Yet.
Right, we will some other time.
We were in Denver in May. You know, it's crazy how many people have been saying on these tour flyers, like, come to Denver. It's like, we were there, like,
just
this summer. We'll come back, though. Anywho, we're going to be in Providence, Rhode Island on October 1st as well at dusk. That's one of the shows that does not have a pre-sale ticket link, but just show up at the door. We'll have tickets for you guys. It's not sold out. Providence, come on out. And then West Coast starting on October 9th, Seattle, Washington. At the Central Saloon, October 10th, Portland, Oregon at Kelly's Olympian, October 11th, Grants Pass, Oregon at The Hall, H-A-U-L, October 12th, San Francisco at the Valencia Room, October 14th, Santa Cruz at the Blue Lagoon, again, another show with no presale link, but just tickets at the door, that's Santa Cruz, then Los Angeles, October 17th at El Cid. That's going to be a fun one, San Diego, October 18th at Winston's, and Las Vegas, October 19th at The Box with two X's.
Oh, it's going to be a glamorous send-off. We're going to take all of our money from that Vegas show, go fucking put it on red on roulette.
So we're going to take like $110 maybe. We're not gonna, Vegas? Come on.
Red 17.
Tickets on sale now for almost all of those shows at thepalmersquares.com/tour. And again, tickets will be available at the door for all of these, and specifically at the door for Providence and Santa Cruz. So don't let it deter you. We're going to be there. Don't forget also Beat Kitchen in Chicago, Halloween with Prop Cause, October 31st, Junkyard Samurai. I believe that's a Thursday. And we're also going to be doing a meet and greet at Grassroots Chicago, mid-afternoon. Mm-hmm. I think it's around like 2:00 we're going to do that, but we'll give you more info soon. We're going to be doing we'll have some extra goodies to give away, and I forget, we're going to be doing something there, I thought. I forget what we planned, but
just hanging out.
Let me gather my thoughts.
I'm going to be hounding them for more free Grassroots shit to wear.
I think we don't even have to hound. They're probably just going to be...
I'm a hound dog.
What was the other thing? Oh, costume contest. We're gonna figure out some rules and do some sort of sign up the night of, and if anybody like wants to enter a costume contest, it's fucking Halloween, so let's do it. We'll figure out how to make it a part of the show, and we'll give the winner some. We'll figure out some merch or something.
Quick tip: Chewbacca mask wins.
And then don't forget as well, Cleveland, New Year's Eve. That's December 31st for the layperson with Tropodelic and Bumpin' Uglies. Holiday extravaganza shit.
Get your tickets. I've heard that they have sold quite a few.
Tickets are on sale for those right now, too.
Any Ohio fans, you're going to want to make the drive for this one.
But besides that, tpsreportspodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email, please. We'll get to some of these we had to brush over today. Next time. 708-797-3079 is the number. Leave us a voicemail. Call in. Let us know what you thought of Mindhunters. Let us know what you thought of It Chapter 2. Let us know what you thought of Ben Shapiro's insensitive comments about the musicality of hip-hop. I don't care.
Insensitive.
I don't know. Merchandise. I'm trying to rile the people up.
So
you know?
Sorry, guys.
Get them talking.
This morning, made a post saying country music sucks ass.
All right.
Okay.
That's just like your opinion, man.
Exactly, bro.
Merchandise, thepalmersquares.com/shop. We got stuff for sale right now. We're going to have stuff for sale on the road, and we're going to have more stuff for sale at the end of the year for holidays. Follow Junkyard Samurai on social media, too. That's at Junkyard Samurai on all the socials, Insta, Facebook, Spotify, too.
I'm starting to think that when people say don't, when they make some sort of, quote, unpopular opinion, and then say don't at me.
I hate that.
I think they want you to at them.
I'm going to at everybody.
That's what the guy who said country music sucks is don't at me. I was like, all right, I won't.
You're getting added, bro.
I wasn't going to. What is that going to do?
We have a P.O. box that we've actually never checked. But
Pobix.
When we go home.
We're checking it when we get back because Christian from Texas.
Sent you some disc golf stuff?
He sent us a flash drive with a movie on it.
He didn't tell you what movie?
No.
Awesome.
But I love it. I can't wait.
I invite more fans to do that. Put a movie on a cheap flash drive and then send it that way and then send a question and be like,
and
did you watch
please
it?
Please make it a movie of you getting your dick sucked by your aunt or something. I don't know.
Incestual videos only. Fan mail. The Palmer Squares. P.O. Box 25627, Chicago, Illinois, 60625.
Pobix.
That address, again, is the Palmer Squares at P.O. Box 25627. Chicago, Illinois, zip code 60625. So feel free to send us some handwritten mail.
Mm.
You can send us some fan art. You could send us whatever you want. We'll try to make it a part of the show. Send us some farts. Jar of fart. Can you fart into a ball jar and cap it really quick and then put that in the mail?
And I know that you can.
Dude, if a fan doesn't take this opportunity to fart in a jar and send it to us, I'll smell it on the show. We'll let you know if it captures.
Oh,
finally, we have an idea to use this thing. I'm excited about that. And subscribe to the podcast. But most importantly, you guys, check us out on tour. Please keep sharing, watching, whatever you got to do. We really appreciate the support on the new song and video, Acknowledge. And like I said,
go to your local library and go to every computer station and just bring up Acknowledge on every single computer and then leave.
And then the incest video of your aunt blowing you. Cue that up for next.
Right.
But yeah, Smoochie Gang playlist on Spotify. That's where we put all the ending songs from the podcast. This week, we got to do it. It's Acknowledged by us, the Palmer Squares, which is available to stream everywhere now. And if you want to hear it live and a lot of other stuff live,
is
old and new.
One?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
That shit is out. We're going to be not only playing some oldie fan favorites on this tour, East Coast, West Coast, but we're trying out like a handful, like at least a handful. 5, 6, maybe more songs. If you want to hear a sneak preview of a lot of shit we've been working on, we're warming it up on this tour. So come check it out. And like that Reddit subreddit said, we're very approachable. We're like so fun to hang with.
You'll hear some shit off our next album. We might even make you put your phone in a zip bag like Dave Chappelle.
We might even make you put your farts in a ball jar, send them to us.
You know, we can't afford these zip bags, so it's mandatory that everyone shoves their phone up their ass before they go in the
venue. Please and thank you. And speaking of, thank you for listening to the TPS Rewards podcast. This is our new track. Thanks for the support, you guys. We'll see you next week on the TPS Rewards podcast. Smooches.
Yo, I'm a white rapper. I'm a black magician. I'ma have to kick it till I'm out of ammunition. The squad is back in business, in fact, we never left it. Half of you need to practice and half need resurrection. Hating ass, that's just the way it came to pass. Transgressor climbing dad's dresser, finna raid his stash. Hating bitch, shady like a bait and switch. Ain't the rich and I'm still poor. The game is rigged, I don't speak the language that you speak. Bottom feeders languish in defeat. Take the crown and place it at my feet. Now basically you bitches is bitch made. Mouths wide open, finna south side. Social them with a switchblade. Come on, ride the train, ride it. Come on, fly the plane, pilot. Undermine the game, crying, what a crying shame. I'ma nullify the pain you claim to live with. Listen, the love that I attained became the bane of my existence. Oh, mother of pearl, I wonder why you came. Skull fucking the world, bust a nut inside your brain. Got spider veins on my nutsack, act.
Yuck.
Quacking at the ducks until the ducks quack back. Rugrat, Tommy Pickles. Lost the signal, now it's not as simple. Popping pimples with the polished pistol. I ain't voguing, I'm candid. I've been smoking with bandits. I got a tendency to supply what no one demanded.
Been left alone and abandoned, decrepit, broken and damaged. The overcombative veteran soldier loading his cannon. Nobody panic, I swear everything is fine. We end up on our grind almost every single time.
Murdering vibes, it's rare to hear me verbalize. Word to the wise, don't stare at me, you'll hurt your eyes. Bird in the skies, I'm fly with it. Shit, if term can defy physics, then surely they'll buy tickets.
What if Jesus never rose?
One can dream, but heaven knows.
What you need's a friendly ghost that always keeps you on your toes. So believe me when I boast, my beliefs are bellicose. I'm a beast on any coast, undefeated, never lost.
Done with minimum wages, here to secure the bag. Fuck those beginning stages, we're seriously a drag. Temporary stay home, world cemetery, old girl, legendary. I'm getting carried away.
Yo, hereditary, I turned Peter to Paymon. Bumping colors by J-Rock, Weezy, and K-Dot. See, I'm a soul survivor like Young Jeezy and Akon. So heaven can wait, Jay-Z featuring Raekwon.
Books will never really be the same after you cook them. If looks could kill, then death would be my name.
Hey, that's a good one.
It appears I am to blame, a useless songwriter. The roof is on fire, I'm just here to fan the flames.
Bantam weights lighter than a feather, way beyond fly.
Wanna scuffle?
I'll be waiting outside to extinguish you. Burning diesel fuel, leave a person beaten blue, as well as black.
Facts.
Every word I speak is true.
Be sure to follow like a herd of sheep will do. If I never heard the Beatles, I would murder people too. I cannot say for certain how it's made. I've said enough, cause everybody's fragile Frankie Merman nowadays.
I've been scouring the place for a dollar and some change. I'm sour to the taste, put a scowl on your face. Spin the wheel by a vowel. Hey Pat, I'd like to solve it and stash a couple thousand in cash inside a safe. I'm wide awake, now people shower me with praise. Ecumenal, local weather every hour on the 8th. Make you disappear without a single trace. Hallowed be our names. Hollow be the tree of life. Shallow be the graves. Man, I feel like nothing matters anymore. Wake up each and every morning, even sadder than before. I've been slamming every door, window, cabinet, and drawer. Feeling rattled to the core. Get your cameras, hit record. This ain't a battle, it's a war. And my cadets finna swarm. That ain't a warning, yo, it's more of a threat. One more thing, quick before I forget. I'm still poor and upset. Up to my neck and none to debt. Used to use the floor as a bed, refusing to stay sane, abusing the same language I swore to protect. Keep forging ahead, forage for a morsel of bread, return to the living dead.
That's what the coroner said.
I'm a Virgo watching vertigo, Urkel with the nerdy flow, Virgin Mobile chirping like I'm serving with a burner phone. Phantom of the Opera, had a steady job, but I quit. Ecumenal, bitch, I'm back on my shit.